I'm not sure.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Second hour coming up here with my guest, Lindsay McKenzie. We're talking about the country comparisons and the difference between, the U.K. and the United States. Now, Lindsay, let me ask you, you've been on both sides of the ocean, and you've seen, the culture, you've seen the character, you've seen the political events and so forth. In your estimation, if the gas prices go up in the UK, the people are up in arms, and I mean they literally take to the streets. They go to the effect of blocking gas stations, or they take their vehicles and they block imports from coming in and so forth because they're so up in arms. And as you know, the people in this country don't do anything. They simply complain and then have another beer and watch American Idol.
Well, again, as if we're speaking about comparisons to the people. I think we're a nation of fighters. You know, we just fight for what we believe is right, or what we want, or if we want something. They just seem here to just be so much more complacent and sit back, and we're speaking about serious that really have a huge effect on your life and your future and everything. And to go back to this, what we were speaking about, the fuel and what the protests and everything back where I come from, when you think to cause that extent of upheaval to the point where even hospitals were cutting back on and doing only emergency operations, that 90% of the gas stations were closed. Some of them would, because they were dry, some of them would close before they were dry, just so that there was enough gas to supply the emergency services. And like I say, it just had such a huge effect. And look what it did. It got, if I remember right, Tony Blair was, I think he was in his hometown, in Newcastle or something, and he was forced to come back to London to deal with the chaos in the country. And subsequently, what happened was that Gordon Brown was the Chancellor of the Exchequer at the time. In his pre-budget speech, he froze the gas prices for 2 years. because something had to be done. And so you compare that, and that's just one comparison of where the people will be listened to and heard, and something will change.
Well,
and
right,
I hope you know there's another scenario.
Right, I'm going to go into that one after the break. But before I do that, I wanted to ask you, from your opinion of being here for better than 3 years and seeing the character and the demeanor of the people here as opposed to over there. I mean, in your mind, do you think that the difference is because of apathy, fear, laziness? What is your estimate of why people here will just sit down and let them run roughshod over them?
I think it's a combination. Yes, apathy, but I would say more than anything is fear. I would say that's paramount with people here, is fear. Everybody's scared. I'm even getting to the stage where, and you know, when I first came over here, I wasn't scared of anything or anybody. I could do this and I could do that. But now I'm finding myself jumpy and nervous. And so, I think a huge part of it is fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we got to take this break. We'll be back after the break with my guest, Lindsay McKenzie. We've got another one we're going to go into, folks. It's been explored quite deeply in the past. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Feel free to give us a call. We'll be back after the break.
Mm-hmm.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Yes, Lindsay McKenzie. We're talking about country comparisons between here and the UK. And Lindsay, I want to ask you, you know, do you, during the break, I was just wondering, overall, you had mentioned that, you know, as you have lived here now for 3.5 years, you find yourself getting a little bit jumpy and, you know, worrying about things. And it's, you know, it's obviously it's because of the intimidation with the police and the fear-mongering that goes on in the mainstream media. Overall, would you say that between the two, you know, because the propaganda is that, yeah, we're the land of the free and the home of the brave and this is the place to go and all this stuff, but given a comparison between Scotland and the United States, which place do you think has the most freedoms?
Oh, home. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't believe it. Sorry, but I have to laugh when I hear land of the free. Oh, my goodness. Georgie, just the other day, last night, came home. And
now, Georgie's your younger daughter.
Yes, she's 10 years old. She's in elementary. And there's a little boy at school that she likes, and he likes her. And one of her friends had made the comment, Zach, I think his name is. Oh, Zach's always giving his pal a hug. Why doesn't he give you a hug? And the little friend had said that to this little boy. So the little boy came over and he gave Georgie a hug. Oh, my goodness. The teacher or whoever was overseeing recess or whatever shouted at Georgie and told her it was against the law to hug in school.
Against the law or against the rules?
No, Georgie used the terminology that it was against the law, because this is how it all came out, was she asked me a question, Mum, is it against the law to hug in school? And I was like, what? And eventually she told me the story. And she said that the teacher was so angry with her and shouting at her that she made her cry.
You know, that brings up another instance, and you recall this. I know your youngest son is Jack. Jack came home from school one day, and he was all proud of the fact that they had fingerprinted him.
Yes.
You know, you and I conversed a little bit about that, and Jack basically got defensive with me. Because I had talked to you, and I said, see what's going on in here. And Jack took offense because they had obviously propagandized him into thinking something along the lines as he was helping to, you know.
That's right. It was exciting, and it was, you know, to as you say, to help him to understand. I think it was forensics or something like that.
It was some load of propaganda that they threw at him to a little 10-year-old mind to fingerprint him, to the point where he got defensive. When I got upset about it. But at any rate, I'll tell you what, we're going to go into another subject content of which you know what's coming. But before we do that, let's go to John in Austin. John, you're on with Michael and Lindsay. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, John. How you doing?
Hey, Michael. I had to call in today when I heard your wife was coming in. Lindsay, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad, darling, you know. Struggling on.
Is it Glasgow?
Falkirk.
Falkirk, okay, I know Falkirk.
Okay, I can't hear you too well, unfortunately. But, Michael, I'd just like tell you a couple of stories, personal experiences of mine here. First one was, I hadn't been here real long, and I was out with a pal of mine one day in his car, and, you know, we'd stopped at a couple of places, had a couple of beers, nothing major, absolutely. And turned into a long day, and at the end of the day, I fell asleep in the car. We were in a club and I wasn't enjoying it. I said, look, I'm just going to go and sit in the car and wait till you come out. And I fell asleep. And the next thing I knew is there's these two policemen banging on a car. Well, long story short, I'm cuffed and taken to jail, accused of public intoxication. And I wasn't breathalyzed. I wasn't given a blood or urine test. And basically just told to go to court and either pay a fine or whatever.
How long have you been here, John?
Pardon me?
How long have you been in the United States?
Just over 9 years now.
Okay.
And I was mad at that. I says, this would never happen back home. And probably what made my situation worse was I'm sitting in the back of the cop car with handcuffs on, challenging this guy to a fist fight, you know? Because I was fuming.
I could see that.
But here's a worse one. Just over a year ago, I was in my previous address, and I was sitting at home one night. I just got into work, had my dinner, and I was sitting watching TV, and TV's just by the window in the living room, and I see these two cops coming up the front path. So I go and answer the door, and they've walked right away back up the footpath up to the pavement. So I walk out and I say, hi. And they introduce themselves, and I walk out a wee bit, and I go to put my hands in my pockets, you know, like you would. You're either going to stand there with your arms folded or put them in your pockets. Well, as soon as I went to put my hands in my pockets, the both of them jumped on me, and it scared the bejesus out of me, and I thought, what the hell's going on here? So anyway, he just starts yattering away, and he says, is there any children live here? And I said, no. I says, this is a rental house. There's like five single guys live here. And he just kept, you know, muttering away, not being very definite about anything. And I'm standing there, well, what the hell do these guys want? Well, in a roundabout way, he kind of got to it. They'd had a phone call that there was allegations of possible child abuse going on here. And I thought, are you kidding me? Anyway, go on and on and on. And then finally, the penny dropped with me. Across the street from us, there was a diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And I just suddenly admit, because, you know, I kind of went into a state of shock and my brain wasn't working properly. And then I suddenly remembered this nut job across the street. Well, you would see cop cars at her house at least once a night, every night of the week. And that's when the penny dropped. I says, oh, wait a minute, I know what's going on here. But in the meantime, these two cops, man, they were nasty. Mm-hmm. Nasty.
John, let me ask you, John, okay, so does that mean that you agree with Lindsay that, you know, compare the freedoms here to the freedoms there?
Actually, every time I'm in the vicinity of a cop here, I get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We just had that. Lindsay and I just had that conversation yesterday on the way down to the police department. We get nervous. And, you know, as far as overall, you know, the freedoms here and the freedoms there, you know, they talk about this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. But I've been over to Scotland and
home of the slave, I think, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the atmosphere is different. The people are different. The people are a lot more friendly. They're jovial. They you can tell that they, you know, they have a good attitude about life. They're not living in fear, and it's mm-hmm. by design here. We are living in fear, and this is the reason why, and especially under this particular administration, you know, the country is just nothing more than an example of the leadership of the country.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that goes on here but constant fear-mongering.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, man.
John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Tell me, that story that you told about having a few bevies and falling asleep in your car, would you agree that if at home you were in that situation or you were in a bit of a predicament and had a little bit too much to drink, could you see the cops giving you a lift?
Oh, yeah.
A lift home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, but the thing that annoyed me was, you know, Lindsay, I can hold my bevy, if you know what I mean, and I'm sure you do. And I had nowhere near the amount of beer that I was going to be drunk. I know that for a fact.
Well, you know, John, Lindsay, in her prior life over in Scotland, owned a pub. And of course, there would be many occasions where, you know, and I've seen you guys drink, so I know, okay?
Yeah.
But there'd be many occasions where, you know, people would get into a disagreement and they would just, you know, take it to tone on each other. And of course, the bobbies would be called. And Lindsay, what would happen when the bobbies are called in a fight? What normally happens?
Let them turf out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
can you let them turf it out. In the end of the day, they've got rid of their frustrations. Okay, they've got a couple of black eyes and a bloody nose, but they're usually walking down the road arm in arm after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you
if one of them knocks the other one out, then the cops have only got one to deal with.
Can you see that happening here? You know, they would be leveled with all kinds of charges because it's all about getting the money. Anything that they can find to charge somebody with.
Yeah.
Even when Lindsay and I went down to get the car out of impound, the first thing they want is your driver's license so they can run a warrant check on you and find out if you just walked into their spider web.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the total opposite here as it is there. But what's funny about it, John, is that they pervade this propaganda throughout the world that we're the land of the free, the home of the brave, and this is the place to go and so forth. But it's the exact opposite of what they're putting forth, because I've been to a number of countries throughout the world, and none of them are as locked down as this country.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
It reflects on the people's attitude, especially, you know, let's take another one here, as long as I got you on the line, because Lindsay shared this story with me, and Lindsay has told me about the etiquette driving down the road in Scotland, as opposed to the etiquette driving down the road in Austin, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona. Do you notice any difference between the drivers here and the drivers there, John?
Well, I haven't lived in Scotland for many a year. I lived in London for a lot of years before I came out here. And London is a totally different place to Scotland. It is brutal.
I'll tell you what. Hang on. John,
okay.
Stay with me for a minute. We've got to take a break. We'll be back after the break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Lindsay. And we've got John on the line. Be back in 3.
Thank you. Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest Lindsay McKenzie, and we've got John on the line. So, John,
hey,
you know, you don't remember way back in Scotland when you used to drive down the road and you'd wave at somebody if you cut them off, and they'd wave back and say sorry, or, as opposed to if you do that here, they'll flip you the bird or try to.
Well, I wasn't of age to drive when I left Scotland.
Okay.
Plus, back then, not many people had cars.
Okay.
Well, you're not that old, are you?
I'm getting on a bit. I'm getting up there. Now, Lindsay, Michael, have I got time to just tell another story here about London?
Go ahead.
Take a couple of minutes. Lindsay, do you remember the poll tax riots in the early 90s?
Yes.
You know, I watched that. In fact, I saw the march take off. It took off pretty close to where I lived. And I took a walk down the street, and the atmosphere coming off these, it was, wow. You could feel it. I thought, my God. And I watched the scenes on the television news later that night about them setting fire to cars in Piccadilly and Trafalgar Square, that part of town. And the way they reported it, you know, it looked horrible. Then a couple of years later, I think it was John Major was Prime Minister, who'd finally got rid of the bat from hell. they brought in this law... And it meant that if you were only allowed to congregate in a group of three, any more than three, they say, constituted a crowd with the possibility of violence ensuing. And so there was another protest march about that. And a friend of mine at the time was a card-carrying member of the Labour Party, and he talked me into going to this march with him. So I went on the march, and it was due to end in Hyde Park with a band playing and some speakers. So when we got to Hyde Park, the police weren't going to let us in. So there was a bit of a confrontation about that, and eventually they let us in, and the thing proceeded. And then it sort of come to an end there about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, Hyde Park there is your Park Lane that runs all the way down to Hyde Park Corner. It's that stretch of street there is traditionally used by a lot of commuters from the suburbs who come in by coach. And the coaches just park up there all day, and then the people, when they finish work, get back on the coaches and go home. Well, a lot of these people that day had done that. They'd come in by coach, and there's all these gates all the way down the street. And we were just standing there milling about, and we noticed something going on. There was police on horseback charging at these people. Well, the people simply wanted to get out the gate to get back on the bus, and the cops were saying, no, you have to go down to Hyde Park Corner. And they're saying, are you mad? I'm not going to walk all the way down there. I have to walk all the way back up when there's a gate there and my bus is 5 seconds away. Well, things started getting ugly then, and me and my pal were trying to get out of the park, and of course a lot of the people were getting aggravated, and there was obviously going to be a confrontation. Well, we ultimately got out of the park, and I crossed over Park Lane down this side street which led to just behind the Grosvenor House Hotel. And lo and behold, what do I see? A battalion of the Darth Vaders. Hundreds of these guys with the shields and the batons and the helmets. And I thought, my God. They had provoked this thing. They started it deliberately.
Well, it sounds like over there and over here it's pretty much the same then.
Yep.
They do that here as well.
Oh, I've seen it here in Austin, Michael, many a time. You know, this is a bit of a party town, and any excuse for a party down 6th Street, which is famous music district, I've been down there. It's a long time since I've been down because, I no longer have the desire to go down there. But where it used to be, you would see just a cop walking along in their uniform. Now, you get these cops in, like, groups of half a dozen or a dozen with a Darth Vader gear on. I mean, what's that all about? It's just ridiculous.
It's federal funding.
Of course, John, that story that you're telling, and as you said, that was in London, which is, London's a place in itself.
I know.
And all that goes on there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, John, anything else?
That's it, mate. Great show. Right. I listen to you every day.
Fit like to you, buddy.
Power to the people, my son.
Okay.
Bye, Lindsay.
Thanks for the call.
See you later, John.
All the best, though. All right.
You too. Take care.
Okay.
Oh, boy. A little nostalgia there. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, getting back to it, that was a great call. I appreciate that. He's a first-time caller, by the way. See, you're drawing him out of the woodwork here, Lindsay.
There you go.
Now, country comparisons again. When we were talking about the gas situation and how the people stood up and what they did and the effect that they had on the government and the fact that Tony Blair had to come and then Gordon Brown turned around and froze the gas prices to get these people to back down. Mm-hmm. Now, we see none of that happening over here. But another example that I want you to go into a little bit is on the – what it was about 10 years ago now, I guess, the death of Princess Diana.
Oh, yes.
And, Lindsay, you have to get a little closer to the microphone.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. On the death of Princess Diana, I guess that, what was it, the Queen was vacationing at Balmoral? Is that right?
Yeah. Every year they've done it for a decade. The royal family go to Royal Deeside in Scotland.
Okay, let me stop you. All right. Uh-huh. Every year they go to Scotland. We've got to take a break. Then we got a long segment coming up here. So we're going to get into the Diana thing here a little bit. All right. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Lindsay McKenzie. We will be back in three. We'll talk a little bit about the people and their reaction to what the government's reaction was to the death of Princess Diana. Be right back. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with Lindsay McKenzie is my guest. And Lindsay, now I want to shift gears and go into Diana a little bit and the reaction of the public. But, you know, other than my listening audience, which a lot of my listening audience is very active, and I know you know from being associated with me, you know, the hate crimes legislation and H.R. 1955 and these bills that are being voted on, you know, most of my listeners are up and on the phone and they're calling their senators and congressmen, so we can't really equate them to the masses of American people that just don't know what to do or don't do anything or are too lazy to do anything. But I want you to give an example of the difference. When Princess Diana passed away, the Queen was vacationing at Balmoral, which is a big castle in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I guess they weren't flying the flag at half mast like the public at large thought they should be doing. Is that right?
Okay, to give you a bit of an insight into this flag deal, a Buckingham Palace flies their own flag, which is called the Royal Standard, and that's the only flag that is ever flown over Buckingham Palace, and it's never flown if the Queen is not in residence at the time. So obviously, when Diana was killed, the Queen was in Balmoral, so there was no Royal Standard flying at Buckingham Palace. Now, yes, the public outcry was that the flag should be put up and flown at half-mast. Now, another royal protocol is that under no circumstances is the royal standard ever flown at half-mast, because their opinion is that royalty never dies. You know, the Queen dies, then Charlie takes over. Charlie dies, Willie takes over, so on and so forth. So the royal standard is never flown at half-mast. But because there was such a public outcry over Diana's death and the Queen not flying the flag at half-mast, it took a little bit of time, but eventually she had to come to a compromise for the people. So what she did was she put the Union Jack up and flew that at half-mast. Now, that's a first. As I say, no other flag is ever flown at Buckingham Palace other than the Royal Standard. So, yeah, ultimately, because of the public outcry, she had to at least compromise.
Didn't she actually have to leave Balmoral and come back and make a speech?
Yes, that was another outcry. If I remember right, all the headings in the tabloids were, "Where is our Queen?" And yeah, she was having her wee holiday up in Scotland. And under no circumstances was she going to cut that holiday short and come back. But once again, she was forced to, and she had to cut her holiday short, not only come back to Buckingham Palace, but she had to go on BBC News and give a speech.
Now, she didn't really like Diana anyway, did she?
No, not really.
Okay. But at any rate, now, you know, equating this situation with, for example, the gas outcry where the people were blocking off the stations and so forth, were people actually marching in the streets and demanding that she come back and she, you know, fly the flag at half-mast?
Yes. And it was funny, John, your earlier caller, I completely forgot about the poll tax. And yeah, it was Maggie Thatcher at the time was in power. And if I remember correctly, she tried to impose it in Scotland first. And to cut a long story short, exactly the same. The people were in such an uproar. There was riots in the street and everything that John was speaking about. And ultimately, the poll tax was scrapped.
Okay,
is the kind of things I'm speaking about, is to make a government or a monarchy change their stance in monarchy, royal protocol that's been for years and years and years had to change.
Right. Well, and it's what I preach on my show a lot, is that, you know, the reason that they're doing in America what they're doing is because the majority of the American people let them, because of their laziness, their apathy, and pick your adjective. But the fact of the matter is if they had ingrained in them, I mean, first of all, you guys over on that side of the ocean, you do not have the same fear-mongering that's blasted at you on a 24/7 basis through the television set, which is part of it. You don't have the police officers running around in, as like John said, Darth Vader gear, which, by the way, he said at that particular point in time in London, all these, you know, the Darth Vaders showed up. But here on the streets of Phoenix or in Austin or whatever,
or anywhere.
That is, well, right, that's just mainstream attire.
Yes.
Whereas over in the UK, you see these guys with a white hat on, they're walking around with maybe a little nightstick or something like that with no gun. So the physical appearance in itself is not intimidating or demeaning. And so that, you know, that would transcend to, you know, not an attitude of fear.
You know, so Michael, in the American people's defense, just really the more in speaking today, I've come to more of a realization that the biggest thing is fear, is the fear. And not just the police, but in everything. You know, as you say, it's propagandized over the TV and fear into this disease and you're going to get this disease and you need to take this. And that. It's across the board, fear. And if you think about it, you know how I like to use examples, but if you take an example of two people that have a bona fide fight that they disagree with or whatever, and those two people go into battle or fight, if you've got one that has so much fear and scared of this or worried about this, who's going to win the fight? The one that has all this fear in them, or the one that has no fear and just believing that they're going to fight for what they want or what they want to change? Ultimately, I would say the one that has no fear or very little fear, the one that just fears their shadow, which is what I feel the people have got to this stage here. They're scared of their own shadow. Mm-hmm. So that, I imagine, is the key thing here, is that the American people are scared. They are instilled with this fear. And how hard would it be to fight when you have all this fear?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm about to be corrected here. I've got Don in Oregon on the line who says, I am not a cop. I apologize for that. I was under the impression that Don at one point in time was in the police department in some capacity. Evidently, I'm wrong. So let's bring Don up. Don, you're on with Michael and Lindsay. Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't want no stinking badges, man.
Okay, sorry about that, Chief.
Comprende?
Yeah, comprende.
All right, and good afternoon to Miss Lindsay.
Hello.
Just to hear her voice brings back some really emotional things. I had a real good friend a long time ago. We went into the Marine Corps together, and his mother was a waitress at the Nut Tree Restaurant in Vacaville, California.
And I she know exactly hailed, where it is.
She hailed from Glasgow.
It's where my mom's from.
I've landed at the Nut Tree Restaurant on numerous occasions,
well,
Don.
Well, now you know where my... That's where I graduated from Vacaville High School at.
Okay, where, the nut tree?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to know the honest to God's truth, as soon as we got off the football field, we headed, it was indirectly. We went to Disneyland, and then we came back and had a party at the nut tree.
Okay, so, it was a great place to eat.
Absolutely. Your discussion about the flags and your incident and everything with Miss Megan... I'm reasonably certain that what you're about to experience, because not knowingly, willingly, and voluntarily, you allowed yourself to step into the Equity Admiralty Maritime jurisdiction. And as such, doing so, you will find that you are now in the land of Oz,
mm-hmm.
more so than you ever have been before. But the document package that you should be receiving today or tomorrow or the next day should to some extent help to explain a reasonable way, as I've come to understand it, to hold your head above water, hold your own. And it's applicable to pretty much anybody that has the knowledge to exercise it accordingly.
Okay.
And that's a global thing, as I've noted in my little cover letter that I attached. So, but I did want to bring up a point of awareness that it ties it pretty much all together. I'm not really good at this, but I remember a few quotes from, constitutional quotes and something that Thomas Jefferson said, where he said, I consider the foundation of the Constitution as laid on this ground that, quote, all powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states or to the people. And that was the end of the quote. On down, if you really get into it, you're going to find that at Title IV, Section 1, United States Code, it goes into this flag thing that you've heard a little bit about. And it says, quote, the flag of the United States shall be 13 horizontal stripes, alternate red and white, and the union of the flag shall be 48 stars, white in a blue field, end quote. Okay, this is, it doesn't deviate from that, but when you find that you are you know, you're in a court where the placing of fringe on the national flag, the dimensions of the flag, the arrangement of the stars, you know, they're all matters of detail, not controlled by statute, but within the discretion of the president as commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy. This was out of 1925, an opinion, I think it was 34, by the Attorney General, number 483 back then. That is part and parcel of where they put the Admiralty Maritime Jurisdiction at the behest of, through executive order, the Commander-in-Chief exercising his power as such, not as the President of the United States, but over the enemies of the state that were already pretty much made everybody that's a, quote, U.S. citizen. And you become that the minute that you give them your tacit accedance to that jurisdiction via your signature on any of those documents that you signed, to include but not necessarily limited to things like driver's licenses, marriage licenses, et cetera, et al, ad nauseum. So I think you can understand what I just said, and that pretty much has you, you know, aware of, I think, where you are finding yourself with Miss Megan right now in this, quote, jurisdictional thing, which is, as you say, or as you have noted, a colorfully corporate issue. It's nothing else but that.
Well, what's interesting is when the judge was making her speech, she, you know, when she's talking about the alleged constitutional rights, she also put forth the statement that if you are an immigrant, this could affect your immigration status and cause deportation proceedings to be started. So.
That's one of the reasons why they granted Miss Megan the, let's say, the benefit of the doubt at that point, which was actually it's an escape valve for them to let her go. I don't know what the terminology was, but Lindsay was there, she heard it. I'm more inclined to think that they didn't use the term process; they used another term. It could be. I'm trying to think here at the same time, not protocol, but there's another term that I think that they might have been using, because it would involve that they would have to, no, it would involve that Miss Lindsay could do just like all of those Spanish people that you were seeing down there, run to the consulate and ask the consulate to come to her, to Miss Megan's defense and protect her under international law. Which is something that still could happen if one so chose to do that. So,
well, let me ask you this question, Don. The charges that were pending against her, or that are pending against her, have nothing to do with the consumption of alcohol. It have nothing to do with assault on a peace officer or anything of the like. Now, if push came to shove and it were to go to a trial, if you know, would it be detrimental to bring that up and put those police officers on a witness stand?
More than likely it would, because everything that they have, that they are intending to use in the plea bargain, is being completely scrutinized by the Attorney General's office for the state of Arizona right now as we speak. There's no doubt in my mind. They're looking at this as a special case, quote unquote. Now, that said, if it were me, but understand that me now is a different person than me was, let's say, 10 years ago, especially 2 years ago, because I would not allow myself to be in an equity situation or an issue. But if it were me and I didn't know, I would tend to think that if she doesn't have any major criminal penalty to pay, okay, she may be in her best effort. Okay, first of all, let me draw a definition here. It does not matter whether she pled guilty, not guilty, or in a pleading and plea bargain. She even goes to the extent of pleading nolo contendere, no contest, in other words. It wouldn't matter, because it's the pleading, whatever it is, that has put you into that equity, into that admiralty jurisdiction under equity rule, per se.
Right. I understand
okay.
that.
Now,
right.
If you go in and you start plea bargaining and dancing, what you're doing is you're saying that, first of all, there's going to be bonds that are good, well, at least a couple, that are going to be generated out of this, and that will make more than like, okay, is Miss Megan over 18 years of age?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, it will make her ultimately liable under contract law for, as a surety, for the liability of the unpaid debt. Now, that is what you don't see and probably what you don't understand yet, but you will shortly, I guarantee that, when you get the document package.
Mm.
What it means is that whatever you, in your colorfully corporate operation, whatever you plead and whatever you do, or should I say Miss Megan, she will be financially as well as contractually liable to, you can't pay the debt because we know there's no money there, right? So you have to discharge it. Now, she'll have to figure out a way of doing that, and I do believe that the way that I have presented you with is the most viable way right now, but I don't see any hope for anybody to back out of it, saving grace, so to say, other than to go ahead and go along and dance the dance.
Okay, you want me to hold you over, Don? I got to go to a break.
Okay.
All right. Be back at 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Lindsay McKenzie, and Don from Oregon's on the line. Be right back.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Final segment coming up with my guest, Lindsay McKenzie. And Don, real quick, would you agree with me that at this particular juncture, based on the fact that she's already entered a plea of not guilty, that we'd probably be better off if she gets a plea bargain of a fine or something to just let it go at that, as opposed to trying to undo what we've already done?
Yeah, to use the axiom that most of the attorneys use, and, you know, I don't like attorneys either, they're all in the same pot, but, you know, leave a sleeping dog lie where it will. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You can do more harm than damage if you go into this thing half prepared. And until we can change, or until we can revert back, until we can regain our constitutional standard as American citizens, you and I being Californians, we're not Arizonans, I'm not an Oregonian, we're Californians born on the soil. Until we can regain that back and have control of it, we have to be very careful about what we do when we find ourselves, when we venture into their equity courts. So if we're looking at a misdemeanor charge, if we're looking at something minor, even though that's not as minor as it used to be, it's far better to deal with it accordingly that way than to try to challenge this thing. And I know the predisposition, particularly given the age, and especially given, I can't help but imagine that if Miss Megan's anything like her mom, you know, her taste for freedom has been soured, just like ours has been. Only we've been beaten over the head, you quite literally have been beaten over the head with that coming to that knowledge. But her predisposition for that freedom probably is going to be a detriment to her, you know, as a behavior. So the best I could think is to coach her down at this point, allowing her not to be so emotional, and just to go along with the program and get it out of the way quickly.
Well, the way I see this going is they've got four charges against her, one of which is criminal, which is driving on a suspended license, of which she never had a license to begin with.
It wouldn't
What I see happening is that they'll have a plea bargain ready for her, that if she pleads guilty to the criminal charge, they'll drop the other three charges. They'll probably fine her, give her some community service, and that's the end of it. And if that's the case,
she'll have a record at that point, and that record will be against her straw person. Okay, which they
right.
just, and they created whatever out of that. So in time, that can be taken care of via things such as rescissions of signature and apologies, et cetera. And
right.
you're going to become a little bit more aware of that more sooner than later.
Well, a lot of these laws, they've changed from civil to criminal. I was caught in that back in February when I slapped a plate on the car and went to the post office. You know,
they're
so
only,
I understand. Go ahead.
They're only applicable to the uns legis straw person, the presumptive entity that, you know, is a fictional creation. And I think you're aware of that as well. So when you start using I, probably it's in your best nature to draw cognizance to that it's not the I, it's the colorful entity that I am responsible for at this point.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you for the call. Got to wrap up the show.
Alrighty.
Thanks a lot for the input. Appreciate it, Don. All right. Lindsay?
Hello.
Didn't get to talk much there. I'll explain that to you off the air from what he was
okay.
talking about, because I know what he's talking about.
Well,
anyway,
I do as well. Basically, what he said is, did I rock the boat?
Right, pretty much. Okay, listen, got to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing those thoughts with us.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, dear. Okay, end of another day. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Statmill. I'm not sure who he's got on today, but it's always a good show, and I'll be listening. So have a good rest of the day, and try to stay in a good mood, and I'll see you tomorrow with... Who do I have on tomorrow? Not sure. Guess it'll be a surprise. See you then. Bye.